Okay, so first on the work session, we'll just zip down through these. Spray Park, we had our first public meeting. Some of the exhibits are still on those windows. If we were to open those curtains, we left a lot of the concepts up for people to comment on. I'd like to thank the Messenger for the coverage on it. It's an exciting project. It's bold. It was a very good meeting. It was fairly well attended. I would hope that there'd be continued interest, especially after the article came out. Now, Tony isn't going to be available this Saturday. The next meeting is this Saturday from 1 to 3. I doubt that it will take 2 hours. The first one didn't take 2 hours. I would think maybe an hour, hour and a half. So that's pretty much it. The comments, there's a lot of interest. The questions seem to revolve around whether or not we were going to charge. We spent a fair amount of time on that. Again, that's we're going to have to see where this journey takes us. But a lot of excitement. I've heard from a lot of people that I've seen just out and about that are excited about the concept. So
I showed it to the supervisor of the town of Hastings. He's excited about it. He wants to do one up there. They have several parks, small parks up there. They don't have anything like playgrounds or water parks. So I told him what we were doing out here. He said, send me the information. So I did.
Yeah.
He's going to try to do something up there. I thought it was a great idea.
Yeah, I think it's really exciting. So for those that weren't able to make it, I would invite you to try to make it this Saturday. Again, it'll be fun. It's fun to see the kids in the audience there. And I'd like to thank Terry and Tony and Al for helping put that on. Terry did a great job providing popcorn for the kids, tables for them to draw their own concepts on. We had it behind these curtains. We have different features that are numbered, and we had the kids just write down the numbers of the features that they liked most. And again, I thought it was really neat that the paper ran that that sketch from the student from McNamara.
Yeah, we picked out a couple. Tony and I did, and that was the one that Sarah chose for the front page.
Excellent. So that's pretty much it for the Spray Park for now. Incentive zone change application. Tonight, obviously, because the Collington Point. No. This is the incentive zone west of 690 that we're talking about, or is this?
It's not an application. Incentive zone change.
Change. Okay, the application threw me. So we'll be talking about this. The one question I had for you, because I wanted to make sure the board got a copy of it. Did this board get a copy of the comments from planning board?
I did.
Yeah. Okay. I just want to make sure you got that. I mean, other than that, it is what it is. You know, we've had a lot of opportunity to mull this over. I mean, this has been, I think, had Bob and Roman been here at the last meeting, we probably would have been in a position to make a vote, take a vote on it then. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, this is a. Anytime you're talking about a zone change, I think we thought it was in the best interest of the community that we had a complete board when addressing this.
I appreciate that very much.
Yep. So that's. I don't know if there's much to add there. Building use policies. Let's save that to the end, because we're just gonna have to zip through page by page. Highway superintendent truck salvage value. We need to make a decision. Our highway superintendent, unfortunately, at the last meeting, had an accident. That was when we were trying to figure out what was going on. The results came back from the insurance company, and that the truck's totaled. We need to make a decision. We can take a $10,000 claim on the insurance. The vehicles that we have outside of six-wheelers and ten-wheelers are covered by a policy that just is a what you normally consider a vehicle policy. The six-wheelers and 10-wheelers are covered by that other named policy.
Full replacement value.
Then we get full replacement value regardless of the year of the truck. So we have a choice. We can either, we can take the $10,000, we can take the $10,000 and repair the truck, or we can take the $10,000 less $1,700 for salvage of it. Now I'll confirm that with Dave Rowley when he comes in tonight. So we just need to make a determination. Do we want to try to salvage the truck? The truck was kind of beat up to begin with. I think that the estimated cost was $17,000 to fix the truck. So to spend $7,000 on an old truck, to me,
the salvage value is inappropriate. Just take the full cash value.
Yeah.
And forego the $1,700. I don't want that truck.
Okay.
That's me. I don't know anybody else.
Great. I mean, all right, good. I just wanted, but I wanted.
Do we need to do a resolution tonight for that?
No, I just needed I wanted direction from the board before we made a determination. Maybe we do. Do we need to determine that?
Has the insurance company offered us the money yet?
Yeah.
And we can just do a resolution accepting the cash value offered by the insurance company. Simple resolution.
Okay.
Can that money be placed in the fleet fund?
Yes.
The insurance for the trucks comes out of the highway fund, right?
Yes.
So that's where it should go back into the highway.
We have been setting money aside for trucks.
Yeah, no, I mean, as long as what I'm saying is it can't go into the general fund.
Right. It's
to pay for it by the highway fund.
Yep, I'm sure Dave will put that. Okay.
And then we can discuss replacement down the road.
Yes, absolutely. If you guys want to go to policies, let me go get my policy manual.
And I just have a question on a couple of agenda items.
Sure. Want to do that now?
Well, they all look like boilerplate to me. Not that they're not important. They certainly are. But the one that caught my attention was, maybe we could just get some explanation, was I, which was spending almost $19,000 to do something.
Yes. We're going to – actually, I'm sorry. Why don't we do building modifications right now?
Sure.
Hal and I
don't know if anybody else has any other questions about others, but they all look understandable.
Yeah, so we had a buildings and grounds meeting earlier this week. Roman was with us, mm-hmm. Al, Karen, and myself, and we went through the list of items that we wanted to accomplish this year. Wanted to see how we're coming along on it. And if you remember during the work sessions of the budget last year, towards the end of it, we realized that a lot of the stuff that we had budgeted for from the previous administration, those projects hadn't been completed. So what we did is, now that we're 3 months into this month, we wanted to...
Two of these or just one of these?
One.
Just one. Yeah, there's just one.
I don't think there's an extra. This is the... Well, we'll get into the rest of it in a second.
All right, so let me just rifle down through here, and then I'll let Al jump in. So we budgeted $90,000 for building maintenance this year, of which $54,000 was going to go towards the garage fascia, and that's the metal trim around the top of the highway garage. That's in need of repair. We didn't get to ceiling of the trooper barracks or the town offices last year. So we had budgeted $71.50 for parking lot ceiling for the town offices. We have a quote of $48.11. We budgeted $28.50 for the trooper barracks. We have a quote of $18.11. And then the other thing that we budgeted for was $25,000 for the new highway cold storage building, which that's what we need to talk about tonight. In talking with Al, it was determined that when we budgeted for that, we'd anticipated outsourcing that. We're hoping, well, there's a couple things that have to take place before this building even gets built. We need contract drawings to be...
Well, yeah, we need a grant contract. The grant's through the New York State Dormitory Authority, so that we have to have a contract with them and execute that contract and approve by resolution. Then it goes to the comptroller's office, and ultimately the governor's office before we can spend the money. Once we get to that point, we can bid the contract, or we can produce contract drawings and bid the project. Realistically, we're in a schedule where that's going to be early fall before we're bidding this project. So we can bid it early fall with construction to be in the, early to late fall, hopefully before snow flies, basically. The thought would be we would put sleeves in for where the utilities will enter the building through the slab, we could have our guys trench back to the existing highway garage if the weather cooperates at the end of the season and lay the conduit. And then in next year's budget, have a plumber come in and run the gas line.
And I apologize for not following you. So what's the bureaucracy that's would hold this up in terms of pushing it off to the fall?
We got to have the grant contract in place with the New York State Dormer Authority.
Okay.
They're notoriously slow. So rather than tie up $25,000 on a project that might even be delayed into next year.
Exactly.
We're serving milk, are we?
What'd you say? Oh, no. Yeah, there's going to be a milk dispenser there. So now what we talked about was a revised budget. As you remember, last year there was a concern about the salt barn. By the time we got a quote, we couldn't get the contractor
late in the season,
to mobilize.
And it was just, we ran out of weather, bottom line.
So that will be completed. The sealing of the parking lots, that's going to be completed this spring. As soon as we get weather, we'll pull the trigger early on those to allow that to seal solid. Town office modifications. Now, this is where we inserted town office modifications. We've been talking for some time about modifying the layout of the building for a number of reasons. One, it's confusing for folks that come in here. I mean, I watch it every day. People come in and they wander around the rotunda a little bit, and then they eventually find where they're going. The other one is a safety concern for our employees. When we first put this together, it was a rather large number. It was like $54,000. And it was tough to fit in that size job with a $90,000 budget that we're trying to adhere to every single year. So what we did is we broke up that concept into two phases. Phase one and phase two. This, what we're talking about, the $18,875 would take care of moving parks from the back of the building up to where the town assessor, or not the assessor, the town tax collections is right now, moving Nancy to Robin's old desk, putting a window there, putting a window at the assessor's office, and then a series of fob stations allowing our employees to buzz in people around those barriers. So that estimate came in at $18,875. We think that the Al gave a fairly conservative number.
Yeah, actually it was based off a quote from the county bid roofing contractor. Their numbers are high.
Jozel's
number is, they gave us a number of 57,000. I really think if we bid that, we can beat that by 15%. I really do. I mean, just knowing the cost to seal and what the man hours are to put fascia and encapsulate what's there, I think we can beat that number that they gave us. We gotta bid it to know. That's the bottom line. We gotta bid it to know, but I think we can beat the $57,000 number that they gave us.
So that brings that number to $88,547. And then phase two of the modifications would hinge on grant application, because most of that work would revolve around the court, moving where the court clerks are, a couple modifications to the Diaz here, building another wall and a door for security, a window here. So basically what we'd be doing is very similar to the town of Van Buren, where their court operations are completely separate from their town operations, their other town operations. So
the majority of this cost is just putting in doors and windows and
fobs? Yeah, moving windows and doors and, okay, and the key fobs.
Key fobs, yep. And we're trying to do this as inexpensively as possible. We're reusing materials. We're comfortable with the low bidder. The low bidder came in.
Yeah, came in and did a pretty detailed walkthrough with me. So he understands what the work is. He understands what the costs are, the materials that are needed, and he gave us a really good price.
So really what the request here is to postpone the utilities of the highway garage cold storage building, but move ahead with the other items in the revised budget.
So although this item wasn't specifically budgeted for, we're going to take that $18,000 out of the $25,000 for this year, the cold storage might.
Yep.
Just saying that for the record.
Yep.
Okay.
And the cold storage, it's a pole barn structure with a slab?
Yep.
So it's just
sleeve. Yeah, exactly. Sleeve it and sleeve it, and when we can
get outside the building and
when we can get there, we can get there. Yeah, you know, I mean, that's okay. The bottom line.
It was never intended to have heat year one. We were going to go for another grant to heat that facility.
Electricity.
We need to, it does need.
Yeah,
electricity.
I mean, we'll get there. We just okay. You know,
makes sense.
I have a couple questions.
Sure.
So just the technical part of this, Quinn is about 30% less than the higher bidder of Eldon Homes at $18,875. Well, that number is coincidental to the total number you want to spend, but they're two different things.
Yeah, two total.
So my question is, do you have any intuition why someone can come in 30% lower? I mean, are they?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is overhead costs. I mean, Eldon's a pretty big operation. This is just a solo contractor with one employee.
We don't get into any issues with fair labor standards, wage rates, and all that.
Other no, it's prevailing wage job. Yeah, and he's aware of that. He carries workers' comp on him and himself, okay. Or his employee and himself. He actually normally doesn't carry workers' comp on himself, but is going to take out a 6-month workers' comp policy on himself so he could bid this job.
And then the broader question, I didn't bring my 2017 budget with me, so that this, I can't remember, was this the very next thing we wanted to do in our budget priorities?
Yeah.
There was nothing else on the list of maintenance
This is
on the same line as
this is pretty. This is pretty important from a organizational standpoint in the building.
Well, I'm not saying it's not important, so don't misread me. I just want to make sure that we prioritized, and this is the one that we drew the line right above this.
Yeah, there's a note. Actually, there's a note, I think, Dave Raleigh's section where this utilities a highway garage was listed right next to fascia. So we're doing the highway garage fascia. We're keeping that priority in there. What we're moving around is this $25,000 because we don't know exactly when.
Oh, I get that. I just want to make sure that what we picked next, what we're picking next on that list.
Yeah,
I don't remember. I don't have it in front of me.
Yeah, that is next.
This was the very next item.
Yeah.
Okay. That's just want to make sure that we understand that.
Yeah.
So we did get final estimates from Syracuse Technologies for the data drops that we need for the receiver taxes window. Pass copies around if you want. They came in at $530. CP Alarms came in higher than they should be, in Joe and I's opinion. I'm going to actively re-quote this, so I do anticipate that this number will come down, and that's based on what he's charged us for previous work. It seems like he's being a little excessive right now.
Can we get the second one?
Oh,
Yeah, it's coming. I'm just going to give it a part here.
Yeah, he came in at just shy of $4,500, which is, the last fob we did was just under $500, so I'm not sure why we're all of a sudden that high. So we're gonna search for another contractor or vendor that works with Paragon Systems, which is what we have, and see if we can't get another quote, because that's a...
You know, so here's the other thing, and this will come up in the discussion on the policies, building policies. You know, we've had security for the building. I think the previous administration had made the decision that we wanted a security system to report any possible break-ins. The building functioned for years, I think 5 years prior to that, without it. One of the reasons why we're looking to revamp or revise the building use policy is because there have been six times this year where a false alarm has gone to the sheriff's department and we've been billed $250. So it's starting to get expensive. We have organizations coming in using this facility that you know, they're not held responsible for tripping. Like, we don't have a policy in place where we show an organization that, like, this is what your responsibilities are. This is how you enter the building. This is how you exit the building. You know, we give them a key fob, but it's just it. Unless we button down the use of this building, it may get to a point where we might want to consider just not having an alarm system anymore.
Entry alarm. Still an entry fire. Alarm. To still do fire.
Still do fire.
CO carbon monoxide, but no entry alarm.
I'm a little confused. Are you proposing no entry alarm, or are you?
No. We're working on a building use policy that's going to try to address that.
Okay.
If that doesn't address it, I don't know what else to do other than to.
I mean, we could take a $250 deposit from anybody that's using the building.
That's all going to be discussed.
Yeah. Are groups using this building without an employee here?
Yes.
Yes.
Really?
That doesn't sound appropriate at all.
No, and I've got somewhat of a discomfort with giving an outside organization a fob. I mean, it kind of defeats the purpose of having a security
system.
Are they
using this room? What are they using?
Yeah, this
room or the large group room, the room blown by Tony's Delmore Park.
So can you make this room 100% secure so you can't get anywhere from here?
It is.
No, that's the doors locked from this side, not from the other side. Anybody can walk through those doors into here. Yeah, from the hallway.
Oh, from?
Yeah, so that anybody can walk in here once they're in the building, can come into this room.
Right, no, but if they're in this room,
but this is a secure room.
Yes, this is a secure
room. Keep them from leaving this room.
Yes.
Yes, we can keep them from leaving this room.
Oh, okay.
But we can't.
Oh, but they keep setting the alarm off.
They keep setting the alarm off.
So what will this do in terms of, you brought that up as an
aside, because we're talking about alarm systems, and you know, we're going to cover this in the building use policy, but that's one of the things that we need to be aware of. That six times this year we've had to pay $250 for a false alarm setting. So it's getting expensive.
And that's because they don't know how to set the alarm upon leaving?
Yeah.
They set it off coming in.
As a new employee, I did one. I'll fess up to it right now. I screwed it up the first time I used it.
Well, am I being really hard-nosed to say that that's not excusable? You want to use the place, you're going to pay for any false alarm. End of story. You don't want to be responsible for that, then don't use our building.
Yeah, pay up front too. Deposit up front.
I mean, really? I mean, is that really hard?
Yeah, I don't know. Do you know if Van Buren has an alarm system, or do they just lock? I know the village just locks it up.
I don't know what the. I think they base their spec on what I wrote, so they may have one. I don't know. And that was just, I mean, that's what the previous town supervisor wanted, so that's what I expected.
That's a phone call.
Yeah, and that's fine. So we'll do some research there, and we'll see what comes about as far as the building use policy goes. Are there any other questions on any agenda items? Oh, the other thing that I think we need to bring the board up to speed on is an issue's come up this week.
It's been ongoing, actually.
Well, it's been ongoing, but it's really come to a head. Al's really done a great job in trying to be of assistance here. there's about 54 homes in Radisson that were negatively impacted by a revised flood map. It popped up in an area that we least expected it, because it's right really in the middle of Radisson.
Like, and
it's
a high point.
It's 80 feet above the river.
So
you're familiar with it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Errors in the...
Yeah.
So there may be some people. We met with them. We had a meeting
Monday night
with a group of folks. Very patient, but frustrated in that, you know, they woke up one day, and because there was what we believe is an error.
Or do an imaginary line. And now
It's not even an imaginary line. They did a LIDAR topographic survey, which is essentially a laser scanner on the bottom of a plane. There's a large area in the middle of all these houses that shows, it's like 46 acres, that shows no elevation change. I mean, zero. It's, all the points are the same. We know that's not realistic.
I've walked
it. There's a stream through it that flows through it. It's not. There's an inaccuracy in that data. Tried to get FEMA to redo the data and reinvestigate it and do a letter of map revision. They will not do that unless we do a flood study. For me to do a flood study, I need accurate topographic data. I can't do a flood study with the data that they have, because I'm going to get the same results they did, because there's bad data in, bad data out, basically. So we got quotes to do survey work over there. Low quote was $14,200 and change to survey the entire area. Works out to about $264 a house.
If every one of them participates.
And here's the double whammy on it. That was one of the neighborhoods that Theresa included in the reassessment.
Yeah, so when it rains, it pours.
So 21 of the 54 houses got letters saying that their assessment was going up by approximately 20%. So, Theresa started getting the calls. I explained to Theresa that about what was going on with the floodplain area. She wasn't aware of it. She'll be here tonight to talk about this. But she's going to change those assessments, the assessments on the people that went up, back to what they were in 2016, and all the folks that were
negatively
impacted will actually get a 10% reduction in their assessment, which is... That's typically what happens with when your house is in a floodplain. So this is how the math works out on that.
You typically get about a 10% reduction in your assessment.
Yeah, your assessed value goes down by about 10% if you're in a floodplain. So if your house is in a floodplain, your neighbor's isn't in the floodplain, and you have approximately equal houses, your house is going to be about 10% less than the other house.
Okay.
So this is how the math works out on it, with that 10% reduction for the 2018 or 2017 assessment roll.
It'll be reduced 1,513,750
for those 54 homes, which works out to an annual rate at the 3265 for all the taxes of $49,429, or about $915 a house. So the thought is, we obviously can't spend money on private property for the survey data. However, all these folks are in the Radisson Drainage District. Now, in the Radisson Sewer District, there's some areas that are served by a pump station that pay debt service on that pump station, but there's other areas that aren't served by that pump station, so they don't pay a debt service on it. The thought would be what we would consider.
Well, so before we get to our possible involvement,
yeah.
The Radisson Board.
Yep.
And
I guess we didn't get into the time critical part of this.
Yeah.
So
this is the most important thing as far as addressing it this year.
We didn't get into the time critical part of this. Once the trees have leaves on them, topographic survey work goes way up. Like, takes four times as long because you don't have line of sight. So really, if the contract was going to move forward, or if the survey work was going to be done this spring, we needed to do it in the next 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks max. Radisson at this point in time has authorized a surveyor to move forward and go ahead and collect the topographic data. The Radisson Board has allowed them to do that. So he's going to be out there next week getting the data, one way or, I mean, bottom line. And Radisson Board is, at this point in time, is going to cover it and try to collect money back from the homeowners. So the idea is, as an added incentive, if we did a special assessment for a portion of those folks in the Radisson Drainage District that are affected by this, and an amount of $264 as a bonus, they can at least write that off on their, that expenses off on their taxes as well. And it's simply a change in the assessment code for the Radisson Drainage District, and it's a special fee.
It's basically a special assessment. It's been done before. It was done in Indian Springs.
Yep.
When there was not a drainage district.
Yeah, there's a drainage district for a portion of the development and not the other portion of the development, and they essentially allowed folks to that's how they funded the work.
So what I would say is that we explore assisting Radisson with this, because they're taking the lead. They're actually going to fund the project because time is of the essence. But if we get a majority of the residents, of the 54 residents that are committed to participating in this, then we can establish a district.
Not even a new district.
Or a special assessment.
Special assessment within the existing drainage district for those folks that are affected by this.
Question. He's got. I'm sorry. Go on.
Is there any possibility you could get some help with FEMA from John Katko?
We're pursuing it, but I don't think we're going to get any financial.
I don't mean financial. I mean getting them to realize they've made a mistake and, you know, hold off the.
So you're doing all this to get good data to prove them wrong.
Yeah, but so let me put it this way, Hugh. John, and this is no disrespect to John and Senator the Congressman at all, but he's been trying to help the folks in Syracuse for like 8 years now, or, you know, since he's been there. And really, the bureaucracy of FEMA is such that even he can't get that.
He can't crack it, huh?
And quite frankly, these folks are paying between $4,000 and $8,000 a year for flood insurance now if they have a mortgage.
So time is of the essence.
If we can't get this letter of map review.
It would be a bad idea to approach it that way anyway. I mean, the issue in Syracuse is a little different because their land is fairly low. Maybe not where they think it is, but it is fairly low. But for something that's 80 feet above the river, this is nonsense.
Well, so basically, this $264, if we can get the survey data now, I mean, the flood study is about 8 hours behind the computer with HECRAS. I mean, it's not a big deal to do the flood study, get the MT2 application back to FEMA, and they have 3 months to respond. Typically, they're 6 months by the time the letter of map revision is final, and hopefully we can get these folks have the letter of map revision in time so these folks don't have to pay for another year of flood insurance next year. Because they all got flood insurance in November or December of this year.
Maybe that's the time to involve Katko.
Yeah.
As soon as we make application, say, hey, you got to get this pushed through so these people don't have to buy another year of flood insurance.
My experience has been getting the money is half the battle. Then utilizing it's the other half. Because a lot of times with government money, there's a lot of strings. And by the time you get an approved vendor, we've got a two-week window. So
I understand that part, but my point is to get FEMA to make the change as soon as you have the information.
Yep.
Let him apply the pressure to him.
Yeah, exactly. So basically, the gist of it is that the town of Lysander is trying to do as much as it possibly can within our limits to help. And we're working hand-in-hand with the RCA board.
Is there a danger of reducing their assessment, and you're basically acknowledging they're in a floodplain?
They are
in a floodplain, but that's what the map says. So
this whole exercise is to prove them they're wrong. They're not.
Yeah, and as soon as the map is revised, they would be out of the floodplain, and they would go back to the regular assessed valuation.
So they're obviously frustrated.
Bureaucracy.
But, yeah.
These folks are. And I feel for them. I mean, I think all of us, if we were in the same situation, would be.
I mean, someone there's one house that's looking at an $8,000 a year insurance hike.
Yeah.
For premiums.
$8,000 a year. Imagine getting an extra. Yeah.
Well, it's, you know, it's a ridiculous thing that that government is doing this to people, but the big picture is they'll save a ton of money at the even when, if their assessment goes back up.
Yeah.
They don't have to buy the insurance anymore.
Yeah. Exactly. So we're hoping that they come to that conclusion and that they want to participate.
No, and I think, I mean, most of the people are very thankful for what we've done. I think we will probably have to do one more public meeting like we had Monday. We'll probably do another one. I'm on vacation the 12th to the 23rd. When I come back, we'll schedule it for that week of the 24th one night, have everybody, get as many people here in here as we can, explain it to them, and then we can do a essentially an email survey, send it out. If you're in favor of it, please respond. Get responses, make sure we have a majority, and if we do, we can just pass a resolution after that to allow for the special assessment for those affected residents in the Radisson Drainage District.
Yeah, so right now we've got a plan in place to beat the clock.
Yeah, I mean, that's the big thing. And we couldn't sign the contract because we don't have any money.
Well, that's really great that Radisson took it on.
Yeah, I mean, they're stepping up to the plate and really helping their residents and you know, it's easier for them to do that than it is for us.
Sure.
So we have a procedure because we have to have a majority. Basically, we have to have a majority in favor to go forward with a special assessment, district assessment for those folks. Mm. So, and Radisson, you know, they're going to try to recoup it. You know, and quite frankly, there may be people that say, "No, I'm not paying." And Radisson's basically just out the money. There isn't much they can. Mm. Much they can do.
And there's no recourse at all with FEMA. Nothing.
Well, so
other than doing a letter map revision, which requires a flood study.
But that isn't going to get them their premium money back for the year.
No, but there might be a mechanism in place for that. If they can prove that there was a mistake, I would definitely think that they could make a case to.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Especially if there were no claims. I mean,
I don't know.
I don't know what I haven't looked that far into.
Like I said at the meeting Monday, I think fighting the federal government, it's like pushing a rock uphill. You're going nowhere real fast. So
we're just trying to assist.
Yeah.
Once they pay the insurance company said, "Hey, I gave you a policy for the year.
Yeah, we protected you.
I'm not going to give you your money back."
Well, and actually, what's really ironic about this is all the insurance agents are reselling a FEMA product. FEMA is the only agency that actually sells flood insurance. Yeah. They sell
it's
it to
a
the
government agency.
They sell it to the agents, and the agents resell it to you.
And they pick their own clients.
They do.
Well, they make the maps.
Right. That's what I mean. Yeah.
So FEMA makes the maps, and they provide the insurance.
Yes.
So let's pick this group.
Something smells
south of cheese. All right. Let me grab my. Let me grab my policy manual. Are there any questions from the audience about what we just talked about? We threw a lot of.
What were the roads in Rand's?
The Vermilion Circle,
Royal
Scarlet, Festival Court. One between Royal Scarlet and Festival Court.
I know what you're talking about. That's a circle.
Yeah, and then part of the Spring Hill A, and then a few of the townhouses across Town Center on Marco.
Have you talked to Joe about the annexation question? Asking the village to annex the park. We'll do it later.
No.
Peter,
yes.
What agenda are you using? How would the one with
I don't know.
Jay?
This is enough. He wants to get this.
One here. Oh, all right. I have two agendas in front of me. One of them has Jay, one of them has Justin. So this is Jay. So this one we're not using.
Where did you get that?
Probably over there. So. Which one are they missing?
Yeah.
They're missing a resolution here.
Your agenda date.
Look in the front.
The
front. Because it's not any of those.
Right. Yeah, because you were talking about letter I, which is different than what I have here.
Yeah.
I just, the one I get here is from our.
What are we talking about?
Norman has two agendas. He's wondering which one
is
accurate.
2 p.m.
The one that
April 6th, 2 p.m.
Okay. There were only some grammatical changes with the letters. That's all. There wasn't any major changes.
What's your next page?
Right.
Yep, I got it.
What is?
Yeah, because look, the letters aren't.
Yeah, you don't have the one that says 2 p.m. This one has the, it says 2 p.m.
You can have mine.
Thank you.
Yeah, I thought it would be helpful to know if the, you know, the latest version.
Yeah, putting the times on it.
Yeah, that helped me, so. Do you have?
I've refused to revise.
Do you, we all have one?
Yep.
Yes.
Thanks, Dan. All right, so I hope you had a chance to go through the first 39 pages or so of this. Just keep in mind, this is a rough draft. And this is really a template that I took from another town specifically is Islip. It's a much bigger town than we are, but I figured better to go with a larger town and scale down and throw out what we don't need and utilize what we can.
And that would be Islip.
Islip.
Yes.
Islip. Islip. Potato,
doing
potato.
It's not Islip, it's Islip.
Islip. All right.
Don't go down to Long Island and say Islip.
It's like going to Honey Eye and saying Honey Oi.
All right, so no changes until, unless you guys have. My first change was I inserted procurement policy. 203, page 7.
Under section 203.
All right, you got one on page 3. Okay. This is going to be exciting, folks. All right, what do you got on 3?
The last paragraph talks about it's been reviewed and updated by commissioners.
Yeah.
ISLIP might have commissioners, but we don't. So.
By the town board. Oh, by the department heads.
So I don't know what their commissioners are. Are they town councilors? Are they these policies that we're going to review?
Department heads. Yeah, they have commissioners. But we'll just say department heads, because all of our department heads will be involved in anything that impacts them. So we can insert department heads.
Department heads is in there.
So we just take out
the
department heads. Yeah, get rid of commissioners.
Just scratch commissioners.
Yep.
Do they administer the policies?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Then that makes sense.
I have a few more comments on people. You're going to hate me because
that's why you rolled your eyes.
Yes. In the first paragraph, it says all such policies, regulations, and procedures listed herein are by the order of the supervisor and the town board. Then it says town-wide compliance is mandatory. So does that mean every citizen has to do this, or is it town employees?
I think they meant to say employees of the town.
Yeah, I think we need to say that. And do we need to specify that by order of the supervisor? Is that through resolution? Because I don't think you can give out orders, or we can give out orders, or can. I mean,
I think we can determine policies. We have control over the policies.
Okay, I'm just asking if we need to put the word by resolution in that paragraph. Tony, have you seen these?
No.
Oh, God. I think our attorney should read these, too. Anyway.
Well, let's make the changes.
Okay. I'm suggesting.
Give me a final version.
this is tedious, but.
It is.
Oh, yeah.
Townwide, you know, fix that last sentence in terms of who compliance is mandated.
Employees of the town.
And then in the second paragraph, the third sentence is, well, more and more administrators find they must communicate commands swiftly, surely, and simultaneously to the supervisors in their organizations. Do you mean department heads or employees?
I would say supervisors is a general term.
It's lowercase. Oops. But do you really want? Is it just supervisors or is it all employees? More and more administrators find they must communicate commands swiftly, surely, and simultaneously to the employees in their organization.
Right? Okay,
that's what I would put. Effective administrative direction under these conditions requires a system of communication that is dedicated to and controlled by management. I don't know what the word dedicated to means.
Well,
I don't know what it means.
Probably dedicated to the direction. management?
I don't know. I'm just, I think maybe work on that sentence, and because if you're with me, we're going to take a long time to do this.
You're right, we're going to hate you.
The animosity is building.
Pick your battles.
Well, it's not my battle. If this is going to be a policy, it's got to be letter perfect.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I mean, let's simplify it where we can. But I think that the meaning of that, and I'll work on that, is that requires a system of communication that is dedicated to and controlled by management. So basically the operations is, okay, you know, there is directing the activities of the departments.
Okay. All right.
Page 4?
I thought that was pretty...
I'm good there.
I'm not good with the title. I think affirmative action plan implies a heck of something different in our country.
Right.
So I think you need to say this, call it an action plan, and get rid of the word affirmative.
Right. Any other?
Good catch.
Remember me from Parks, Bob.
Gotcha. Anything on 5? I mean, some of these are going to be adjusted as we move through it.
Yep. I didn't read through the index.
All I've got is on page 7, 20, section 203, underneath billing cycle payments, I put a number 6, which would be our procurement policy, okay, which I have here to distribute. This has been in effect. Procurement policy. So we'll go back to procurement policy.
Any more?
And
you didn't get one, did you?
This one right here? Is it?
Procurement, yes, policy.
The whole thing, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Page 1, 54.
And then if you go to section 205, I added a section 8. Mailings policy.
Do you want to be more broad and say millings and surplus property?
We could do that.
What's the word, the term there? Dispersal policy? Surplus property? What's the term? I think but I think
you have to declare it
surplus,
yeah. Millings and surplus policy. We can combine
that policy specifically talks about millings, so what you can add to it.
Well, I would just let's keep it separate for now.
Okay.
And then,
fine.
And then I added after that, after 205, I added a section 206, which is our investment policy, which